Thank you for joining us for worship today at First Baptist Church of Wixom. Here are a few upcoming events to help you stay connected.
Community groups continue tonight with a new start time of 5 p.m. If you are not yet connected with the Sunday p.m. community group, please visit fbcwixom.org/communitygroups for more information. Community groups meet most Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. The first session of the E3 Starting Points class will be at 9:45 on January 22nd in room 403. The Starting Points class is designed to engage attenders in church life by answering 5 key questions about FBCW. If you have never attended the Starting Points class, you are encouraged to attend starting next week on January 22nd.
Adults, mark your calendar for a great time of fellowship and competition on Friday, January 27th. We are planning an adult indoor cornhole tournament from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and you will not want to miss it. Please sign up at the information table in the link. All FBC attenders are encouraged to sign up for one-on-one discipleship. Books and information are available in the link.
In just a few minutes, we will be dismissing children 4 years through the third grade out the back of the auditorium to our junior church ministry. While there, they will enjoy a great time as they sing songs, play games, and hear a message from God's Word prepared just for them. Giving is one of the many ways we have to worship the Lord. If you'd like to give financially, you can utilize the giving box in the back of the auditorium, or you can give online at fbcwixom.org and click on the tab at the top of the page.
If this is your first time at FBC, we'd love to connect with you. If you'd like more information about FBC, prayer, or to learn how you can get involved, you can fill out a connections card online at fbcwixom.org/connect. Also, make sure to stop by the Welcome Center for a special gift on your way out after the service. Once again, thank you for joining us for worship today. Now we invite you to worship the Lord through song as we prepare to hear from God's Word this morning.
Well, good morning, church, and welcome this morning. If you're a guest visiting with us today, we extend a warm welcome to you as well. Just two brief announcements this morning that I want to highlight. First of all, you've seen in the announcement video that the E3 series will begin again on the 22nd of January. So we're going to begin with our Starting Points class in that. If you have never attended that class or you're new here in the last 6 months, we encourage you to join us next week at 9:45 for that class. The second item this morning is our spiritual planners. If you did not pick one of these up over the last couple of weeks, please speak to myself at the end of the service and I will get you what you need. Let's pray this morning as we come to God's Word. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather again in your house. Lord, we're thankful for all that you are doing in our lives. Lord, we're thankful for the fellowship that we have within the church here. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us this morning as we come to your word, as we worship you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to do that with pure hearts, whole hearts. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to change our lives and our hearts to be closer to you and your son's example. Lord, we're thankful for Christ. We're thankful for all that he has done for us. And Lord, we pray that we would exalt you and glorify you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Some things that we could definitely praise and thank God for this morning is his mercy and his grace. Let's stand together as we sing out, "His mercy is more."
What love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all knowing, he counts not their sum. Grown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more.
as we think about the fact that we are engulfed in sin, we are born sinners, and there's nothing we can do about it. We need a holy and a righteous God to send us a lifeline, to send us salvation. That's what he did through Jesus Christ. He's given us so many things that we can thank him and praise him for. Let's continue singing about that this morning as we sing out 10,000 reasons. We can count every one of them. There's so many to praise and thank God for this morning. Let's sing it out.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Sing it out.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. His holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger, your name is great and your heart is high, for all your
singing this morning. You can be seated. I'd like to read a passage of scripture this morning, focusing in on what we're doing our series on, which is in the book of Psalms. There's so many good truths and verses of praise and thanksgiving in the book of Psalms. I'm sure you know that. But what I want to highlight this morning is in Psalm 86, as I prepare to sing a song emphasizing God's mercy and his grace. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good. And ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee.
I was alone, I couldn't find my place. Till heaven reached down, your love called my name. Out of my shame, out of the dead of night, into a hope, into your marvelous light. It's your mercy, I don't deserve your mercy, that you would reach down for me. Keep me as your own. For your glory, I'm living for your glory, and I will tell the story of your unfailing love. Be glorified, be lifted high in all my life. Be glorified. Though I may run, though I may fall apart, chasing this world, things that will break your heart. But faithful and true, sure as the rising sun, one thing that's true, one thing is sure to come. It's your mercy. I don't deserve your mercy, that you would reach down for me and keep me as your own. For your glory, I'm living for your glory, and I will tell the story of your unfailing love. Be glorified, be lifted high. In all my life, be glorified, be glorified, be lifted high. In all my life, be glorified, be glorified, be glorified. I've tasted and seen that you are good, and you're walking with me just like you said you would. And all that you say, every word is true. Oh, whom should I trust? Jesus, I trust in you. I've tasted and seen that you are good, and you're walking with me just like you said you would. And all that you say, every word is true. Oh, whom should I trust? Jesus, I trust in you. Be glorified. Reach down for me, keep me as your own. For your glory, I'm living for your glory, and I will tell the story of your unfailing love, your unfailing love.
Thank you, Jeremy. You can turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. That will be our text for this morning. This Psalm series focuses on God and His attributes, things that describe God. Now, the reality is that God is so big, so infinite, so great, that we could probably think of, in human language, an unlimited number of terms that describe Him. And in fact, what Pastor and I and Johnny are going to be doing throughout the course of the next few months is doing just that. No one of these terms describes him perfectly because he's bigger than any of these things. And in fact, he's better than these things. We can't really express how amazing he is. But each week, we're going to focus on an attribute, something that describes God, and specifically something that the psalmist, whoever it happens to be each week, is focusing on specifically. This week in Psalm 103, it's a psalm of David, and we're specifically going to focus on God as beatific, or God as blesser. Now, I'll start off with this. You're probably not very familiar with this particular adjective. And as you might be able to guess from that, it's an ancient Latin word, and I had to throw it in there because I liked it. But you're probably familiar with another form of the word, at least when it comes to our Bibles, and that is the Beatitudes, which are literally the blessings, supreme blessings. And of course, those are found in Matthew chapter 5. So today, the psalmist is going to talk about how God is the blesser. He blesses us. In fact, he makes us happy. In fact, the word blessing and happy originally in English had the exact same meaning. And in fact, the meaning there isn't really what we use happy as today. Happy to us, I suppose, means generally having a joyful attitude, but happy traditionally actually meant to have good fortune, to be blessed. So the psalmist is going to talk about how God literally makes us happy, and as a response, we should strive to make God happy. We should actually bless God. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. Now today we're going to focus on blessings. Number one, we're going to focus on how does God bless us? That's really the meat, the core of Psalm 103. But we also want to focus on what we ought to do in response. Because the psalmist, after reflecting and before reflecting on how awesome the blessing of God is, he's going to suggest what that ought to motivate us to do. So that's our goal today, to think about God's blessing and to think about what ought our response to that be. With all that said, we'll go ahead and start with just the first two verses of Psalm 103. They read this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let's pray. Lord, help us today to understand your blessing. Help us to understand why you bless us and how amazing the gifts are that you give. Lord, more importantly, help us to understand what we need to do with that. Lord, thank you for blessing us. Thank you for your unlimited love and care that you give to us. Please help us to respond correctly to what you have given us. Lord, we thank you for everything you do. We ask this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Now, the key verse here, if you want the conclusion of the whole message, it's actually on the screen right now, okay? The psalmist does us a favor, and he summarizes everything he's about to say immediately. In a sense, this is the conclusion. The psalmist starts with the conclusion. But we are going to follow the psalmist's logical journey, because really where he starts is he starts in verse 3 and he thinks through the end of the psalm, and that brings his mind back to verses 1 and 2. So while these are the key applications, we need to spend our time getting there. You see, the application, the conclusion that we're going to talk about is this, that God blesses us. And therefore, as a result of that, we should bless him. That's exactly what verse 2 is telling us. Now, when I first started to think about this, I had to challenge my thinking. And in fact, the song that we sang just before Jeremy came may have made you think about the same things. My very first question I asked myself when I approached this passage is, how do we bless God? Right? It's easy to think about God blessing us. He is infinite. He controls everything. He is the giver of good things. We're going to talk about what the psalmist sees specifically here in just a moment. But us blessing God, right, that seems logically impossible. Nothing we have, God doesn't already possess, right? God gave it to us. How do we bless God? Well, that really made me dig into what it means to bless in both Hebrew and Greek and even in English. And I'm convinced of this, that ultimately what blessing the Lord means is actually doing what makes the Lord happy. That's how we bless the Lord. And we'll talk about that specifically. In fact, that word happy, again, if we think about its original meaning, it really does mean to bless. It means to give good fortune, do what is required. People that are happy are those that are receiving what they need or what they're supposed to have. And so as a result of God blessing us, we are in turn supposed to do what makes him happy. And the psalmist arrives at this same conclusion that we'll get to. I've titled today's main point, God's Beatitudes, because really, once the psalmist digs into the meat in verse 3, that's what he wants to focus on. God blesses us in an incredible number of ways. And the psalmist describes briefly some of those ways in verses 3 through 5. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? I want to look at three categories of ways that God blesses us this morning. Now, in order, I've chosen to focus on these really in the amount of time or energy the psalmist places in each of these. By the way, this is a good guide for understanding what's important in Scripture. If God has a lot of information or speaks about it for a long time, it's something that he wants us to spend time and effort learning, right? God chose to share it with us. He spent more time on it than other things. He thinks it's the most important. The most important thing that the psalmist sees that God blesses us with is forgiveness. It's the first thing in verse 3, and it's the thing that is spoken of the most. God's forgiveness in the Psalms has several aspects to it. First of all, of course, the forgiveness that the psalmist is talking about frees us from the consequences of sin. The New Testament is full of explanation of what this means for us. And it's not the physical consequences. In fact, we'll have to talk about that in a second. But it's the far more serious eternal consequences. This is what Romans 8:2 says on the same topic. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law or consequence of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law or consequence of sin and death. So the first aspect of God's forgiveness is that he's freed us from the consequences, the spiritual eternal consequences of sin. And he's done that through Jesus Christ. Now that being said, certainly God does not forgive or free us from all consequences. There are physical consequences for sin that must be paid. And in fact, this is where the fact that David wrote this psalm is instructive. We know that while David can praise the Lord for his forgiveness, David still had to deal with the consequences of his sin. In fact, perhaps the two most famous incidents in his life, as far as negative incidents, are Bathsheba and the results of his sin with Bathsheba, and then Absalom and the rebellion launched against David. So certainly, while God forgives, he's forgiven and he's protecting us from the eternal consequences, but there are still physical consequences to be dealt with. In fact, God in this sense is like a good father. Hebrews 12:7 reminds us that if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? So while God forgives us, he blesses us with forgiveness, we still have to deal with the consequences of our sin, just not the eternal consequences. But there's more to this word forgives in Psalm 103 than just forgiveness from sin as far as consequences are concerned. This word in Hebrew also has a connotation that God actually frees us from sin itself. In other words, he actually causes us over time to sin less. That's actually part of God's blessing. Another psalmist says it this way in Psalm 51, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He continues in verse 10 of the same psalm, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Literally, God in his forgiveness not only deals with the long-term spiritual consequences of sin, death, But he actually also changes us. He forgives us in a sense that he eliminates the sin from our life over time. The New Testament explains the mechanism that occurs. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, as it fills us, actually makes us more and more like Jesus Christ. It pushes away the fleshly, sinful living, and it instead causes us to act in the right way. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 reminds us, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." God is pushing away. He's forgiving your sin eternally, and he's actually helping you defeat sin. All of this wrapped up in this single word that says forgive here in verse 3. In fact, the passage actually goes on and tells us that when God forgives, he forgives us so completely and so totally, it's as if it didn't happen at all. Psalm 103, 11 and 12 say this, just a little bit down in our passage today, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." This is David using what we might call hyperbolic language. This is impossibly big. He's saying God's mercy is so big, it's like the distance between the earth and the sky. Okay, we know David didn't necessarily have a conception of what space is, but minimum, that's something like 100 miles. That's pretty big mercy. God has cast away our sins so far that it's as if they were as far as the east is from the west. The implication here, the imagery that David's going for, is it's as if you left a book as far as the east was from the west. Okay? You're never going to go back to retrieve that book. I guess you'll just buy another one on Amazon or something. It's so far away, it may as well not even exist. In fact, I think as modern Christians, we almost miss the imagery of this. This is kind of like the difference between hiking and driving. Okay? Cars make travel in the distance between east and west much easier to achieve nowadays. In fact, I have to guess that for a vast majority of us, those of you who live in the subdivisions nearby probably mess up this analogy, drove here today. Why? Because walking would take ages. Okay? Some of you would have had to start last night to get here this morning, and well, you won't get home till sometime on Monday, okay? Walking takes an incredibly long time. It takes a long time to get from one place to the other if all you have is your feet. So imagine David's metaphor. Truly, if you had to walk as far as you could from east to west, it would take you ages. In fact, I had to know mathematically exactly what this would be like. So if you take the furthest east-west distance possible to walk on planet Earth, which if you're curious is from Lisbon, Portugal to Cape Desnev in Russia, it would take you walking 30 miles a day, which I have to tell you is grueling and impossible actually in some places on this walk. It would take you more than a year to do it. So when David says God casts your sin as far as the east is from the west, they may as well not exist. They're completely gone from the perspective of God. Now, the cool thing is now when the psalmist wrote this, you know, that sounds nice, but we actually understand exactly why this is true. Because Jesus Christ came, he lived a sinless life, he died, he rose again, and he actually paid for your sin. The reason that God can treat them as if they don't exist is because they've been paid for. They've been eliminated through Jesus Christ. So if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, your sins don't exist effectively. They are cast away. They no longer matter. It's as if they didn't exist to begin with because of Jesus Christ. Incredible forgiveness. And of course, the forgiveness of God, which is a blessing, enables us to have a relationship with God. This is our salvation and our sanctification and someday our glorification. That is the blessing of God through forgiveness. But this is, of course, not the only blessings that the psalmist sees. He continues in verse 3 into verse 4 and describes these blessings. "Who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, God blesses us with healing and comfort. He frees us from difficulties of all sorts. The New Testament as well is full of reminders that God can do these things. Listen to James 5, 13 and 14. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. God promises that he will heal his people. This is a blessing, a good gift that God gives to us. Now, we again need to be careful here. We know that this isn't always literally true. There are people who get sick and who pass away. That happens. So this is not a universal thing. God is always going to heal disease, but he is ultimately dealing with it. Those who are experiencing difficulty, God is blessing them. And the reality is that he blesses and heals far more often than he allows sickness to take its course. But one of the themes that we're going to notice very quickly here in this psalm is that oftentimes when things go right, God doesn't get the credit. When things are going right, which is 98% of the time, that's God blessing us, but we don't notice it. We tend to only notice God's blessing once things have gone wrong, and then he pulls us up out of that nosedive. Ah, now God's blessing me. The reality was he was blessing you the entire time, and it was just a moment of difficulty when you finally notice. So God is constantly blessing. This is talking about God's eternal protective love. He doesn't just comfort us. He doesn't just help us when we're in distress, but he's been helping us all along the way the entire time. He literally envelops us with his love. Now, the main way that he comforts us is finally through verse 5, the good things that God gives us. Verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Here it's important to remember that God is a great giver of gifts. He gives us everything, good things, even though we've messed up. Think about Matthew chapter 7, which reminds us of this. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then Jesus continues, and he says this, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? God is a good gift giver. In fact, I think that God actually gave us this kind of attribute of himself. So you see there a gift on the screen. The bananas have no significance. I just thought they looked nice. Okay. But this is a gift. And if you're anything like me, I love gifts. I actually love giving gifts, okay? If you want to describe it in these terms, you could say giving gifts and receiving gifts is one of my love languages, but I love it. I actually have lists on my computer and on my phone of good gifts for people in my family, people that I know. It just brings me joy. And I know not everybody's like that, but I see God in that. God loves to give gifts. And unlike me, he always gets it right, and he's amazing at it. He's literally better than human parents are at giving gifts to their children. And again, hopefully, you are all very good at giving gifts to your children. You know what they like. You know what they need. You know what's going to bring joy to them. God knows how to give gifts even better than that, which is amazing to think about. Think about God's gifts that he gives you consistently. Now again, the problem for us is that we kind of get blinded to this because all the nice stuff that happens in our life, we typically don't attribute to God, right? We have all sorts of amazing things, and I can't describe what gifts God's given you because they're almost unique to you. That awesome thing that you love, that activity you enjoy, that item that really brings you joy, God has given it to you. It's a blessing that he has chosen to give you. And yet oftentimes we forget that he's done that and we don't give him the proper credit for us. And not only is God giving us gifts like things, but he's literally renewing and restoring us. The psalm describes this as renewing us like the eagle. Okay, and I thought about this for a while. Eagles are pretty cool. I am a big fan of Birds of Prey, okay? In the nature documentary, I'm rooting for the predator, much to my wife's chagrin, okay? So I like eagles. There's a reason that eagles and birds of prey historically have been put on things like flags. People want to emulate them, okay? I want to be like the eagle in some way, shape, or form. And I'm sure the designers of all those flags have reasons why they want to be like eagles. But they're amazing animals. They rise up off of the ground. They always seem to be energetic and full of life. And the psalmist is telling us that God is actually doing that in you. And again, we don't think about this because we tend to only ask for God's help in renewing us when we're already kind of beaten down, right? I'm tired. I'm dragging. Lord, I need your strength to accomplish what I need to accomplish this week. That's when we start to think about God renewing us. But the reality is that every morning when you get up, God's renewing you. Or possibly when you've taken your coffee and you really feel renewed, which is me. Okay? But God is renewing you every single day. He's blessing you with renewed vigor and life every single day, consistently. Colossians 1 tells us that Jesus not only created the world, but he sustains it. And that's what the psalmist is talking about here. He's literally renewing your strength. He's created our bodies to do incredible things, and he deserves credit for that. Don't take it for granted that your body can renew its strength. God's doing that. The final aspect of God's blessing that I want to talk about is that God cares like a father. It's not by coincidence that Matthew 7, where Jesus talks about God giving gifts like a father, was brought to my mind. It's literally right in the text of Psalm 103. Verse 13 tells us that like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Don't get distracted by the word pity here, because at least in my experience, especially with my students at school, a pity has kind of this negative connotation, right? Don't pity me. Don't do that out of pity. I don't want to be pitied. That's not really what this word means. This word literally just means love. As God loves his children, so the Lord loves them that fear him. God is like a father to us when it comes to blessing, as well as when it comes to our spiritual relationship with him. He understands us. We can best visualize this through Jesus. Hebrews 4:15 and 16 remind us this truth about Jesus. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Now, in context, Hebrews is talking about Jesus' understanding of sinful temptation. But the reality is that Jesus understands what it's like to be human, to be just like you. He's experienced it. He's been here. He lived 30 plus years on planet Earth, experiencing all the normal range of human experiences and relationships and challenges. He understands it personally. Of course, he's also omniscient. That certainly helps, but it's his personal connection with us that lets us have confidence that he really is like a father. And again, just like your own parents, or just like you to your own children, you intimately understand their needs and what they need and when they need it. And God is the same way with us. In fact, the psalm continues and reminds us that God even understands our temporary existence. One of the things that separates us from God is that he is eternal. Literally, he has no beginning and he has no end. We too, in a sense, have no end. Our souls will be either with God or cast away from him in hell. But God understands that temporary life that we have. He understands it. And he's giving us good gifts that interact well with it. He understands our temporary nature, and he's still giving good gifts. He's not some kind of mythological God. In fact, if you read through mythology, oftentimes the stories focus on the gods misunderstanding mankind. They give a gift that ends up destroying humanity because the gods don't really understand humanity because they're different. But God understands. God knows what it's like to be human, because literally through Jesus, he was one. He's a good father. He gives good gifts. He knows what we need and what we want, And he's working things out perfectly to accomplish his goal, which, by the way, Romans 8:28 reminds us that it's to be like Jesus. That's what he's working in us. Now, with all that being said, God is blessing us and blessing us and blessing us. But there's a response that we need to understand here. But we can't quite talk about a response before we talk about a few other things, like God's motivation. You see, God clearly cares for mankind. Verses 8 and 10, through 10 of Psalm 103 say this: "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Again, that theme of forgiveness visible. God cares about us. He started the process. He is blessing us. And that is going to result in an action. But I warn you, there's a potential here to forget that it's God's care. It's God's love for us. The fact that God is merciful and gracious that these blessings occur. And I know this is dangerous because Jesus himself has to deal with a group of people who have misunderstood this point. That it's God's care, God's love for us that results in blessing and not anything we can do. You see, this is where the Beatitudes, the actual Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 3 through 12, enter into this picture. Because you'll notice that the Beatitudes have a striking number of similarities to Psalm 103. In fact, if you were to do a comparative study and read the Beatitudes and think about Psalm 103, you'll notice that everything Jesus says in Matthew 5 has some connection to what the psalmist says in Psalm 103. The Beatitudes read like this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And in fact, Jesus continues. Now, both these passages remind us that God is a blesser, but there's a distinct difference between the two passages because the Jews had misunderstood Psalm 103. They looked at the blessings. They saw that God blesses, but they had misunderstood why he does so. They actually took the application and they actually thought that it was the cause, not the result of God's blessing. They thought that by obeying, by following the law, they could get God to bless them and bless them more. But Jesus corrects that thought in Matthew chapter 5. Notice that the people that are being blessed are not just obedient people, but they're obedient people with the right attitudes. Really, everything that Jesus describes here is a attitude of approach to God. Now, again, the Jews were not entirely incorrect. The psalmist does say that obedience is a clear result of blessing. But where the Jews had gotten it wrong is they had flipped how it worked. We ought to obey God because he cares. God doesn't care because we obey. And that is crucially important in this passage. Jesus dials in on this. And in fact, you can think of the entirety of Matthew 5, 6, and 7 as Jesus dialing in on this misunderstanding by the Jews. They thought somehow them fulfilling the laws was in some way earning them favor with God. And that absolutely was not the case. Instead, God cares. He's blessing us. And our response ought to be obedience. Obedience doesn't get us the blessing. The blessing already exists. God gives. We don't earn. Now, that being said, with that truth firmly held in our mind, we can move on to the responses that Psalm 103 suggests we ought to have. And the first response is that we ought to obey because God blesses those that obey. That's what Psalm 103:18 says. To such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. God actually blesses those that obey. And this is not a contradictory thought. It is not wrong to say, I am going to obey God because then God will continue to bless me. But it would be wrong to say, because of my obedience, that's the only reason God is blessing me. God does care specifically about his people. He does care more about believers and his followers than he does those who are living in sin. But you can't earn God's blessings. That's not how this works. It's a result. Because the reality is that God blesses those that are properly motivated. Because again, Jesus, when talking about just obedience in Matthew 5, says this, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness or your ability to follow the law shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." You won't receive forgiveness for how hard you work. You will receive forgiveness for accepting it as a gift from Jesus, because he's blessed you with it. God blesses those that reveal true godly character. So the response. Again, I told you the response is really encapsulated in the first two verses of the passage. The conclusion is right there. We see two things. Number one, that we ought to bless God. We see the why, and we see the how. The why, hopefully, has already been made clear to us. It's in verse 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." We are to bless God for what he's done, for the forgiveness from our sins and the victory over sin that he makes possible, for his healing and comfort that he constantly provides, for the good things, the renewal of our lives on a daily basis, the gift like a father that he gives. That's why we ought to bless God. But what we need to know today to act on this is how. And again, the psalmist has really two suggestions, one in verse 1 and another in verse 20. The first suggestion that the psalmist has is this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." So the first way that we can bless God is with our entire being, with everything. When the psalmist talks about his soul, he's not just talking about his spiritual dimension. Okay, we sometimes describe humans as being made up of a body, a spirit, and a soul. That's not what the psalmist is talking about here. The word he uses in Hebrew is actually everything, the entire being. Literally, God blesses us so much that the psalmist can think of only one way to respond with everything he has, all that is within him, his body, his mind, his soul. All of these things ought to work together to bless God. But then, verse 20 tells us what that actually looks like. So all of us, all inclusive, ought to be blessing God. How do we do that? "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." The first half of verse 20 is to God's angels, yes, but the second half is universal. How do we bless the Lord? We do his commandments. Jesus, of course, reminds us in 1 John that he who loves me will keep my commandments. This is the proper response for loving God, for being appreciative of what he's done. Obedience is the proper response. But also, can I encourage you not just to obey God, but to give him credit, to properly praise him for what he's done. That last phrase in verse 1, "bless his holy name," I think this is to draw our attention to the fact that God is blessing us constantly, all the time, every day. And yet, oftentimes we miss it. One, because it's just the norm, right? It's normal for me to enjoy the awesome life I am now here in the United States, so don't think about it. But God's blessing you consistently every day. We ought to give him credit for that. Sometimes we give ourselves credit for it, right? Man, I've really been successful this year or this month or today. But again, it's God blessing you that's enabling that. In fact, in the real world, in academic circles and in work, we actually taking somebody's material and claiming it as your own pretty seriously. We call this plagiarism, okay? To take someone else's work and to suggest you wrote it is at best dishonesty, and at worst might be illegal or get you kicked out of an academic program. By the way, it's even plagiarism if we simply forget. All right. So if you just can't remember who came up with an idea, at least in academic circles, that's still plagiarism. And I have to admit, some of my students have struggled with that over the years. OK, you have to cite who did it. Whose idea is this? Who's responsible for this information? If you don't know, back to the research. OK, the application here is that let's not be plagiarists of what God's given us. God's blessing us so incredibly. Let's give him credit for it. Let's consistently think, God, you are awesome. Praise the Lord for what he has given me. And that takes work because, again, it can become normal. It can feel like this is just the standard level of my life. And then we can forget that it's actually a blessing of God. The reality is that God is blessing us all the time, everywhere. And it's our responsibility as a result of that to obey him and to praise him, to give him the credit that's due. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all you do. Lord, thank you for the blessings that you give to us on a daily basis, everywhere, all the time. Lord, most importantly, for forgiveness from our sins, but also for the healing and the comfort and the good gifts that you give us. Lord, thank you for being our Father. Thank you for your blessings. Help us to remember that it is you who blesses us, that it's you who gives us all the good things we have in our lives. Help us to be aware of that fact. Help us to obey you as a result of it. We ask all this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Stand together as we close with a great chorus. Simple truth, but a powerful truth. God is so good. Let's sing this out.
God is so good. God is so good. God. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Thank you for watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you. And he loves you so much that he gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. And the Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life, the opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want his death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ? If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.